Let's get right to the lines on Pickens. I would have preferred not to talk about this today, but then when you have developments like Ray Fittipaldi reporting that Steelers sources telling the Post-Gazette that Pickens has been late to work multiple times, and Pickens' dad getting involved and ripping Arthur Smith. I mean, there's a lot here. And again, it's all, to me, in the context of, okay, get what you can out of Pickens, but, and it might be a lot, you know, just 2 weeks ago, he had 100 yards and helped, you know, a pretty good effort against the Colts, a losing effort, ultimately. And he also fumbled in that game, which we know Mike Tomlin, not a big fan of that, and players have been benched for that before. But would you sink big money and lots of years into him? Is he a good investment? That's the question. That's the big question, big picture question with Pickens right now. Do you limits? And you don't have to do it today, of course, but I'm talking as we progress through the season. How are you feeling right now about it?
I don't know if I want to bench my best offensive weapon, if I want to move on from my best offensive weapon, especially after there being a plan in place.
I'm not talking about benching him. I'm talking, how are you feeling right now about the idea of spending $80 million and 3 or 4 or 5 years or $100 million on George Pickens?
Yeah, I know. I think this factors into it, though. I don't feel good at all about spending that type of money and investing that capital in him, especially because the past has shown us that if the Steelers have wide receivers who they believe do not fit in the locker room anymore, they'll move on from them. And that's a lot more money that you're giving George Pickens, at least projected, than what Deontay Johnson had at $18 million. You're talking about another $7, $8, maybe $9 million given to George Pickens. That could be a left guard. That could be a tackle that could protect on the line. That could be two corners.
Or it could be a different receiver. Let's get to the people here. 412-928-9370, 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And you can listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It's a Sidney Crosby rookie card this week and a Louis Tiant card. So contests run every Wednesday through Friday, right around noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page.
Start with Jack in Brookline.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, can you hear me, Joe?
Yes, I can.
Hey, so I want to start off that I've been a Tomlin supporter, you know, pretty much. But, you know, I'm starting to get, you know, more and more aggravated with almost the arrogance of how he thinks the stupidity of the fans that we can't see that George Pickens is unhappy and that you benched him, you know, during the game. And he goes up to the media and just talks circles around this. And then the players obviously know what's going on in the locker room and they just say it directly to the media. So I don't understand what he's trying to accomplish. It seems as though year after year, the same issues are wrong with the team and he just refuses to address it. I just don't understand why he doesn't go in front of the media and say, yes, George's actions are unacceptable and I'm addressing them in-house. He doesn't have to absolutely rip him to the media. But are you just going to act like nothing is going on when everyone in the country can see it on national TV?
Well, it's like the F-word thing. Like George having the F-word painted on his face the other night and Mike Tomlin claiming that of the 20.3 million people who watched that game, he's the only one that didn't notice that. It's like, Mike, I guess we're stupid, but we're not that stupid. Come on, we're not that stupid. I should emphasize the word that there. Thank you for the call. Some have suggested that Tomlin, if their intent is to trade Pickens, doesn't want to come out and criticize him and rip him and all that stuff, but I mean, other teams have tape, too. You think they're not watching tape of Pickens jogging on his routes the other night? Or they don't see all this? They wouldn't know all of this? I just think it's a continued pattern with Tomlin. I remember Martavis Bryant, and wish maybe you can find the tape. When stuff first started to surface about Martavis being unhappy here, remember when he said, I just want mines, period? In other words, get me the ball. I want my share. Wanted out of town, scrubbed the Steelers, and Tomlin laughed it off as social media stuff. Who cares about that? And then pretty soon he was forced to suspend Bryant, as I recall, for social media snafus. It seems like his first inclination is to brush these things off, to either laugh at them or rail against them. And he has admitted with Pickens that he has railed against the idea from the day he got drafted that Pickens was a red flag type of guy. Not a guy that you wanted to be in your organization for a long time. That's not me talking. That's scouts and receiver coaches from other teams. Remember the Bruce Feldman story in The Athletic? He does every year about certain guys, and the topic was boom or bust candidates for the 22 draft, and Pickens was one. And one NFL coach said, yeah, he's talented, but I wouldn't touch him. Obviously, a lot of teams felt the same way. It wasn't really about Pickens' knee injury, I would imagine, for some, because he played after that. Guys come back from knee injuries. He showed he could with his performance in the bowl game that year. There were very clearly and obviously red flags around him. An NFL scout told Feldman, and I quote, there's a lot of upside, but he can't get out of his own way. He's been enabled his whole life. People saying that at the time. So how do you not wonder, is he still being enabled by the same head coach that has enabled others? And to be fair to Tomlin, and in defense of Tomlin, sometimes the enabling is what allows you to extract the most out of a guy for a limited period of time. All these guys that I've mentioned were very productive with the Steelers, very productive. Santonio Holmes helped him win a Super Bowl with an unbelievable play and lots of other plays. But when it started to go bad, it never got better. And they traded him out of town. Antonio's the shining example. Maybe it was Tomlin's enabling, letting Antonio do whatever he wanted without clear punishment, that helped get all that production out of Antonio Brown, especially after things seemed to go wrong after he signed for big money. But hey, he got a lot of great years out of him. He did. Chase Claypool, he got a couple really good years. One great year, and then the second year was still better, I think, than people give it credit for. Deontay Johnson, productive player for a long time. Maybe Tomlin believes that the enabling, and especially the not calling these guys out in public and crushing them, helps to keep their egos stoked to the point where they still want to play. But in every one of those situations, it went bad and they traded the guy. It's only so long that you can continue to enable before it backfires. I guess that's the best way to phrase it. Eventually, the enabling backfires, and it will here too. The question is when. The question is how many years do you get out of Pickens before the whole thing blows up and he's traded too. Next.
Let's go over to Matt in Regent Square.
Or does he become the one case that you do turn around? History is arguing against Tomlin there, but maybe this will be the one guy that turns it around and it gets better. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Joe? Thanks for taking my call, man. I appreciate it.
Sure.
So it's funny, one of my dad's best friends is a Georgia grad, and the night Pickens was drafted, he got a text and said, not a question of if, but when this kid melts down. And I just think that's coming to light now. You know, the immaturity, maybe the lack of structure and just the discipline isn't there. And it's funny, we're actually flying to Vegas for the game. And I'm really excited just to see the body language, if he finishes plays, and just kind of excited to see how the game goes. But it's a shame, but I wouldn't sign him.
Me neither at the moment. And when I ask the question, it's an honest question, because it's always about production versus, deterioration. Is it worth it? That's always the question here. And I, at this point, it's a good question. And he may have, like I said, he may have a great game at Vegas. In fact, if I were betting, and what better place to bet, I would bet he would have a good game. And then everybody will say, I told you so. And I would say, told me and other Pickens and Tomlin critics, what? What did you tell us? That he's a good player? A great player? He is. sometimes. He is that. He'll help them win some games. That's not the question. The question is he worth a long-term investment? Next.
Here's Danny on the fan.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, let me just say this real quick, and then I'll get into what I have to say. First of all, I was thinking about the name of your show, The Joe Show. I was thinking because of your weird machinations and the noises you make, because I know a little something about that. I do those things, too, to release anxiety.
That is what it is, yeah. It's an anxiety reliever. Yeah.
Yeah. At inappropriate times, I make noises, and, you know, my wife and daughter just, they can't take it. But I just think you should call your show The Joe Starkey Experience. I just think it flows better than The Joe Show. I really... Now, first off,
yeah, I hear you. Thank you.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Okay. It's just a depressing time to be a sports fan in this time. After the deflating Pirates season, after the Steelers and George Pickens now, and then you kind of gave that pep talk yesterday about the Penguins, and Lord, everything that was a matter from last year showed up in that game. The power play was horrible. Tristan Jarry stinks. They're giving up early goals, late goals.
I'm not sure I meant that as a pep talk. I meant it as I'm not buying this crap about however this turns out this season, it's okay that Kyle Dubas was trying to sell the other day. I'm not buying it.
I took it as that because I'm trying to hang on to any thread, and it just all blew up last night. So I'm at the end of my rope. I'm just, you know, 57. I mean, who knows if I'm going to see a winner again before I leave this earth, you know? So I
you know what you should focus on? You know what you should focus on? Pitt football this week.
I know, but I love pro sports just a little bit better. So, and on top of all that, I get thrown out of the bedroom and the living room last night by my wife and my daughter because I can't quit stop doing this. I love everything, Mosey, and Mosey loves nothing but me.
I'm sorry. I have to thank you for the call. I have to apologize. I got the same thing from a mailman last week on X, Larry, City Limits, who said, "Thanks a lot, Joe. I can't get this stupid song out of my head. I've been delivering mail for 8 hours and sang it for all 8 hours." To which I replied, "If it's any consolation, I can't either. I can't either." And obviously Bob couldn't. I mean, Bob has been singing this thing for days now, and I apologize to him. The effort there is incredible. If Pickens gave that kind of effort, we wouldn't be talking about this today.
Oh, it's insane.
I've done everything for Mosey. No! He's done nothing for me. Did you hear the little lilt at the end?
That's the version you like best, huh?
See, yeah, I practiced that, and I thought I nailed it there. Who's next?
Let's go to Edward in Pittsburgh, who wants to talk about Pickens.
Hello, Edward.
Hello. I wouldn't sign him... Because he's not giving me the Hines Ward or Larry Fitzgerald feels. And what I mean by that is they both were very good players, very good with hands like Pickens is. But his mentality on the field of trying to be a team player is not matching what they are.
Well, I used Hines Ward. I appreciate the call as an example. Here in that Hines was often not overly thrilled with his role in the offense. All receivers want more passes. They all do. And Hines was a classic example. And privately, we would have conversations. You know, I want more passes. I want more passes down the field. But we're a run team. And, you know, sometimes the context was his numbers compared to, you know, greatest show on turf guys. He would say, "I'm never going to have that. You know, I play on a running team mostly." But that never, ever affected his effort. He treated every game, forget every game, every play like it was Super Sunday. And it would be one thing if Pickens had one of these incidents happen, you know? This is just every year. And again, we see in the Fittipaldo story today, multiple times showing up late for work. That's Antonio Brown stuff. Without the Antonio Brown production, I might add, although Pickens has produced. It's a very complex question. I'll say this about Hines Ward, too. If George Pickens blocked as well as Mike Tomlin has blocked for him all week, we'd be calling him Hines Ward Jr. He'd be breaking people's jaws. Instead, we have Ben on his podcast talking about how the Steelers have to work around George's role in the offense with their personnel packages and everything, because on certain plays, to quote Ben, he's not going to block. Think about that. Think about that. That these people who stay up all night game planning over there, Tomlin, Arthur Smith, everybody else, they have to look at certain plays and say, George just isn't going to block on that play. Not that he can't, mind you. Not that he can't. He obviously can. There's clips out there of him blowing people up. More to the point, though, more to the point, anybody can. Calvin Austin was quoted in one of these stories today as saying, yeah, I block. You know, and a lot of times these days, blocking means just kind of getting in somebody's way. Especially, you know, on some of these wide running plays when you don't want to do a Hines Ward and break Keith Rivers' jaw because that's a penalty, or even do anything like that because it's a crack back and, you know, blind slide, all that stuff. Just get in somebody's way and show some effort. Anybody can do that. You could do that limits at 5'10", 140, right?
Yes, 145-ish.
I mean, Calvin Austin's not much bigger than you, but he's willing. But they have to sit there and say, all right, this personnel package on this particular play, you know, all right, George is not going to block there. So do we want him on the field or not? I mean, that's flat out sad, honestly. That is flat out sad.